Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you need a rapid shortcut to understanding the complex world of commercial real estate right now, well, you are definitely in the right place. We are diving deep into the news cycle from September 18th through the 26th, 2025. And this was a period defined by really massive, almost contradictory market forces.
Yeah, this week felt pretty seismic, actually. The Federal Reserve finally delivered its first interest rate cut in years. That was a huge psychological event for the capital markets, obviously. But, you know, even as that sort of relief washed over the institutional world, the retail sector was going through this period of, well, painful but probably necessary consolidation. Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to connect these big macro shifts, you know, the national distress and this new capital infusion, and really understand what they mean for markets that are outperforming. Specifically, we want to look at the Dallas-Fort Worth retail market. So let's start with the headline event. The Fed cutting rates by 25 basis points. After years of these sustained high rates, this one action was meant to provide some immediate relief, maybe stimulate some transaction activity.
And on the surface anyway, the market seemed to respond instantly. We saw JLL data showing office transaction volumes surged, what was it, a staggering 42% year over year.
Wow.
A huge number.
And Q2 2025 office bid volumes hit $16 billion. That's the highest we've seen since mid-2022. So it sounds like the institutional world moved from just, you know, kicking the tires office curious to actually being office serious almost overnight.
It definitely looks like that on the surface. And that volume surge, it's a crucial data point, absolutely. But we do need to ask, right, is that a sign of a genuine recovery or is it more like a flash flood of capital that was maybe panicking to get deployed?
Mm.
I mean, a 25 basis point cut, let's be honest, it barely moves the needle on the overall cost of debt.
That's a fair point.
And that's really the crucial context here. The economic headwinds, they're absolutely persistent. While the Fed did cut rates, core PCE inflation, that's the Fed's preferred measure, right? The one excluding food and energy.
Sure.
It's still expected to sit around 2.9% in August, still stubbornly above their 2% target.
So, okay, we have the signal of the rate cut driving some activity, but the underlying inflation problem, it hasn't just vanished.
Correct. And let's not forget the maturity wall. That's the term we use for that, that mountain of existing commercial real estate loans that were locked in at super low rates back in, say, 2017 or 2018. Now they need refinancing at substantially higher costs.
Right.
So this 25 basis point cut, it offers maybe a glimmer of hope, but it doesn't fundamentally solve the problem of having to refinance, say, a 4% loan at 7%.
Right. It's like throwing a single bucket of water onto a house fire.
Yeah.
It's symbolic, maybe helpful at the margins, but not enough on its own.
Exactly.
Yet, you know, distress always creates opportunity, and the institutions are definitely sniffing around now. We are seeing a pretty significant return of institutional capital, betting on that long-term value in really high-quality assets. We're seeing examples like RXR Realty launching Project Gemini, right? A massive $3.5 billion office venture backed by heavy hitters like Baupost Group. And it's specifically targeting those distressed office assets you just mentioned.
And that institutional confidence, it's driving a really stark bifurcation in the market. On one hand, you've got these massive distressed funds targeting specific deals, but then on the other hand, you see a premium, totally non-distressed Beverly Hills office property just trade for $205 million.
Wow.
More than double what it sold for back in 2005. So quality still commands a huge premium, apparently. Debt costs be damned.
Yeah, quality is king still.
What's also pretty fascinating is the shift in scale we're seeing. We're tracking family offices, entities like Realm, for instance, managing about $12 billion. They're increasing their CRE allocations.
Okay.
But they're focusing on the smaller deals, you know, $50 million and below. They seem to be the ones spotting the deepest distress right now.
And they're seeing specific kinds of opportunities.
Absolutely. Their analysis suggests that in some markets, they're finding chances to acquire, say, Class B office properties at just 15% of replacement cost.
15%? That's incredibly low.
Think about that, right? You can buy a functional building for literally a fraction of what it would cost you to build it today.
Yeah.
That just underscores the severity of the correction for those secondary assets. And it explains why capital is returning now for patient, long-term investors. The prices are simply too compelling to ignore.
Okay, that distinction, you know, top-tier quality holding value versus secondary assets cratering to 15% of replacement costs, that feels like the perfect lens to look at retail. Because retail is having its own sort of year of efficiency in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And this sector presents a major contradiction right now. On the one hand, investors clearly still love dependable income streams, single tenant net lease, STNL, retail. still immensely popular.
Oh, definitely.
That's where, you know, one tenant signs a really long lease, pays for taxes, insurance, maintenance. It's seen as a low headache investment.
And we know it's popular because the numbers back it up. STNL deal volume actually increased 9.6% year over year. Median prices rose 8% to about $309 per square foot. And cap rates, the expected return, they seem to be stabilizing around a pretty healthy 6.8%. Capital is definitely chasing that dependable small box retail.
Especially convenience stores, right?
Yeah.
They commanded the highest median prices at an absolutely eye-watering $925 per square foot.
Yeah, eye-watering is the word. Yep. But they're seen as recession-resistant essential businesses. Investors love that.
But okay, the flip side of that story is the pretty brutal reality of consolidation we're seeing elsewhere in retail. It's been a painful time for big box stores and legacy pharmacy chains. We saw At Home file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, closed 26 stores. Rite Aid's second bankruptcy resulted in 27 closures just in Washington state alone.
Right, just piling up.
And even the giants are trimming the fat. Starbucks announced a huge $1 billion restructuring. That means closing hundreds of underperforming stores, about 1% of its North American cafes, apparently, as they sort of double down on premium experiences in their remaining locations.
And this is all part of that wider shrink-to-core strategy we're seeing. And it's sending, frankly, shivers through the net lease market specifically.
How so?
Well, take Walgreens, for example. Sycamore Partners recently took Walgreens private.
Right.
And the plan seems to be to immediately institute a much leaner operation, focusing only on the most profitable store locations.
Okay.
This directly impacts the value of properties where Walgreens is the tenant. Because investors anticipate these closures, maybe lease renegotiations. Cap rates on Walgreens-occupied properties are already climbing. They're into the 7% range now.
Wow.
Up sharply from the mid-6% range just last year. So for those net lease investors who bought in relying on that stable passive income, well, that's a huge disruption.
Yeah.
It really highlights that your tenant is only as reliable as their current business strategy allows them to be.
So if the tenant decides to shrink to core, the investor who bought that property thinking the rent was guaranteed is now facing a massive risk. It just shows how even supposedly passive investment isn't truly passive when corporate strategy shifts like that.
Well said.
Yet amidst all this, we do have signs of genuine resilience, especially where modernization meets a physical presence. Look at Claire's, the mall staple.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually emerging from bankruptcy with a new owner, Ames Watson. And they decided to keep between 800 and 950 stores open.
Which is way more than initially feared, right?
Yeah, they initially considered closing around 700. So this feels like a major vote of confidence in the revised model.
And that resilience, it's driven by strategy. Their focus now is all about enhancing those in-store experiences, particularly things like their ear-piercing services.
Ah, right.
Which you simply cannot replicate online. They're forcing the customer to actually come into the physical location for a unique service. It's smart.
That makes sense.
What's really fascinating here is how all these national trends just keep underlining the increasing importance of location quality.
Yeah.
Whether it's an office building or a retail corner, weak sites are clearly struggling. But strong, well-located infill corners, they backfill incredibly quickly.
But what kind of tenants?
Often with things like urgent care clinics, smaller format grocers, or those value retailers that can pay sustainable rent. The capital structure just rewards quality above all else right now.
Which brings us nicely to Texas, and specifically the DFW Metroplex. It just continues to act as this sort of countercyclical powerhouse, really defying the national slowdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Texas employment actually rebounded 0.1% in July, outpacing U.S. growth overall. And the hiring outlook across the retail sector here remains exceptionally strong.
Yeah, the Texas economy is humming.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for DFW retail. Especially when you contrast it with that national shrink-to-core narrative we were just talking about. We are seeing incredible, really aggressive capital commitment to quality right here in Dallas.
And the absolute gold standard of this commitment has to be North Park Center.
Yeah.
Arguably Dallas's premier retail asset, right?
Undeniably.
Well, the family that owns the mall just secured a massive, almost unprecedented $900 million CMBS refinance.
Wait, hang on. $900 million?
Mm.
In commercial mortgage-backed securities financing for a mall. In this environment where everyone's terrified of retail debt, that almost defies gravity.
It really does. I mean, CMBS is structured debt, and securing that kind of floating rate, two-year term loan for a retail asset right now, it just confirms North Park's position as a true national powerhouse.
So what do they do with the capital?
They used it to buy out JPMorgan Asset Management's 60% stake. So the mall is now back to 100% family control.
Wow.
And get this, the property was recently appraised at $1.6 billion. It's 99% leased, and it generated $1.4 billion in sales last year alone.
Those numbers are just staggering.
Eye-watering performance, like we said before.
Yeah. That transaction alone proves the market absolutely believes in Class A experiential retail, at least in DFW.
Without a doubt.
And, okay, if North Park is the established icon, then the Knox Henderson corridor seems to be the big growth story right now.
Yeah.
That area is undergoing this dramatic high-end transformation.
That's right.
We've got two huge, really high-end mixed-use developments expected to open there in 2026. Trammell Crow Company is building a million-square-foot project on Knox Street.
Mm-hmm.
That includes 90,000 square feet of luxury retail, a residential tower, and an Auberge Resort Hotel.
Top-tier stuff.
And then simultaneously, Acadia Realty Trust is developing about 161,000 square feet of retail and office over on Henderson Avenue.
And the goal here, it's pretty explicit.
Yeah.
They want to establish this area as Dallas's version of luxury destinations like, say, Melrose Avenue in L.A.
Makes sense.
And the demand is clearly there. It's surging. It's pushing rents on the premier real estate in that Knox district well into triple digits per square foot.
Triple digits.
And look, this isn't a coincidence, right? It's fueled directly by DFW's demographic shift. The Metroplex saw something like an 85% growth in its millionaire population just over the last decade.
85%.
Yeah, they need places to spend that money.
So this high-end retail development, it perfectly captures that theme of quality chasing wealth, especially here.
Absolutely.
And DFW's appeal, it clearly extends beyond just retail.
Hmm.
We've got Fort Worth offering $6 million in tax incentives to the eye care giant Alcon.
Mm-hmm. Big investment there.
To relocate two manufacturing lines from Europe. That's a $186 million investment, creating about 241 new jobs. Significant.
Very.
And even downtown Dallas is seeing activity with adaptive reuse opportunities in its core. The historic Pearse Building, about 75,000 square feet.
Yeah, right near the convention center.
Exactly. It's now listed for sale as a prime adaptive reuse target, you know, maybe hotel, maybe creative office.
Mm-hmm.
And there are historic tax incentives available, showing the city is actively trying to breathe new life into some of these older iconic structures.
Good to see that happening.
So, okay, stepping back, what does this all mean? Nationally, the Fed's rate cut, it provided some necessary psychological relief, right?
Mm-hmm.
Allowed transaction volumes to jump.
Yeah, a bit of a pressure release valve.
But the core story, nationally, still seems to be one of sharp market bifurcation.
Yeah.
Quality versus everything else.
Exactly. I mean, when you look at the national pain points, you have Class B office REITs like Office Properties Income Trust potentially facing bankruptcy.
Right.
Or you have Walgreens being forced into that strict shrink-to-core model, basically, just to survive, that shows financial stress is still very widespread. But then you look at the DFW narrative, and it's completely countertrend. We see aggressive capital reinforcement in the Class A retail segment.
Yeah.
You know, the $900 million North Park refinance, the massive luxury expansion happening in Knox Henderson. It just reinforces the central lesson for investors today, I think.
Which is?
Location quality and asset resilience. They are not just buzzwords anymore. They are pretty much the sole differentiators attracting capital in this kind of tightening environment. Everything else is struggling.
That really makes the distinction crystal clear, doesn't it?
Mm.
National risk mitigation versus very targeted regional expansion here. Okay, now here is a provocative thought for you, our listeners, to maybe mull over. Toll Brothers, a major national home builder, decided just last week to completely exit the multifamily development business.
Wow, really? Selling the whole portfolio?
Selling its entire $5 billion portfolio. This massive strategic exit where a major player basically consolidates or just leaves a sector entirely gabeer. It kind of mirrors that retail shrink to core model we saw with Walgreens, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Focusing resources.
So given this national trend, should developers and investors, even in the thriving DFW market, view strategic exit or maybe sector consolidation as a necessary move to protect capital? Should they be focusing only on the absolute best sites, the North Parks and Knox Hendersons? Or is the DFW retail and development engine uniquely positioned because of its demographics, its capital flow, to completely defy these national efficiency trends and actually continue aggressive expansion across maybe all quality tiers, not just the very top? Something to think about.